You in spirit and in truth, and believing, Father, that you have a truth for us in this hour, for you came down with it, with a shout, and knowing that that shout is to get us ready for the time of the voice of the resurrection, when the saints shall gather together with the saints that are raised from the grave, and will be taken out of here. So, Father, we just ask you to be with us today. Help us, Lord, to catch your word and to not only mull upon it, O God, but to take it into us like your scripture said it might be bitterness to our taste, but, oh God, or it might be sweet as honey to the taste, but Lord, bitter to the stomach. But Lord, whatever your word causes in us, I just pray, Father, we be sensitive to your Holy Spirit to know that your word is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to be looking at the unveiling of God again, and I've entitled it Knowing the Message by the Word. And this morning we'll continue in our study, Brother Ann's sermon, The Unveiling of God. We'll pick up paragraph 135, where he says, as Dr. Leavell is writing this famous book, I want you to see it after a while. Brother Vail's here, is on the ground somewhere. I've seen him outside. I don't think he can get in, but he's writing a book there, and very astounding, of the Laodicean Age. And I want you to, and it'll be off the press pretty soon, so we're taking the last reading of it now, and as it was writing, we was discussing it in there, see, about, and everybody, that they was always, they come to me and they said, Brother Branham, them seven thunders, that the voice thundered, and he said, write it not, see, like close it up. He said, but that'll be the seven thunders that will be revealed in the last days, see, seven thunders that'll tell us. Now, don't that sound real good, see? But watch what you're talking about when you say that. He said, see that you write it not. See, these seven thunders uttered their voices. See, and he said, don't write that. See, but it's to be sealed up in the book until the last days. Now, someone has been, many have been saying to me, and theologians said, well, Brother Branham, if the Lord said, if with your experience that the Lord has given you for his people, humbly saying this, said, you'd be eligible to write a Bible yourself, your word that God has manifested. I said, well, that might be true. See, he was trying to catch me. See? And I said, well, but you see, I couldn't do that. He said, well, why couldn't? You have all the qualifications. I said, but you look, one word cannot be added or taken away. See? And he said, well, then, them seven thunders, you see, he said, wouldn't them seven thunders blasting out, won't that be a revelation be given to some man? Now, catch this, everybody, especially if you've ever been under a teaching of the seven thunders. There's different variants of it. But he says, this is what Brother Brown said. He said, won't that be a revelation to be given out by some man? And I said, no, sir, it would be adding something or it would be taking something from it. It'll all be revealed in there. And then seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. See, he's stealing the word. You see, you can't get out of that word. It won't leave the word, and God's Spirit will never leave the word. It'll stay right with the word, blinding some and opening the eyes of others. It's always do that. Now, it's remarkable that we have an entire denomination within this message who teach their own version of the seven thunders. And there are some brothers who actually believe there will be seven men who are to come along and each will be a thunder at the end time. I just can't understand why men just can't believe the word of God's vindicated prophet and leave that stuff alone. But it seems there is an enticing spirit that gets on men who claim to be ministers of God, and they seem to want something to do with the message so as to give it their own slant to it. It comes in many forms and many strange doctrines. But we are warned of this by the Apostle Paul, that this sort of stuff would take place at the end time, so we must be very careful to weigh everything we hear and read by the Word of God. Now, people say William Branham is their absolute. He is not my absolute. The Word of God that William Branham preached is my absolute. There is no man except for Jesus Christ that is an absolute to us. Now, 1 Timothy 4 and 1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly," or distinctively, "that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Not from faith, but from the faith, which we spoke on last Sunday night, is just one faith and one Lord, remember? And that faith is the faith of the Son of God, His faith. And it has to do with understanding the doctrine of Christ, that there is one God, He had a Son and sons. And Paul goes on to tell us how that they will depart from the revelation of Jesus Christ, from this faith, from the faith. He says, giving heed, this is how they do it. They give heed to seducing spirits. Now, that is misleading and deceiving spirits. And the reason why the word seducing spirits was used is because a seducing spirit doesn't make you go against your own will. I want that to sink in. But it lures you by your own lusts into the deception. So you are misled because you want to be misled. The Weiss translation says it is geared to the gullibility of those who are perishing. You lean to your own understanding rather than stick with "thus saith the Lord." And this seductive spirit comes in the way of doctrines or teachings of devils. These are demonic beings who are influenced by demon spirits, and therefore they are used to influence others, like these televangelists, which with the technology today, we've also got YouTube preachers. I've seen their influence on some of those who have fallen away. I've tried to warn some of them, but they just regarded my warning as I'm just judgmental. I told one brother, I said, the person you're listening to, he's a Trinitarian. Brother Brown said, if he's a Trinitarian, he's a false prophet. Brother said, I'm judgmental. I may be judgmental because my words are, Jesus said, my word will judge you in the last days. Mm-hmm. All right? Well, we will see how judgmental that was when they stand before the white throne and have to give an answer for walking away from the true word of God, backed up by vindication. We stand with the scriptures and the end time prophet here and don't believe in listening to these televangelists who love the wages of unrighteousness, as the Apostle Paul called those kind of preachers out in his day. They had the same spirit, they just didn't have the technology. I've always preached that if you do not understand what the prophet of God said by taking it back to the scripture, then you don't understand what he said. Mm-hmm. But the Apostle Paul said in lieu of those who have fallen away, he says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. In other words, they get to the place where they want so much to believe what this fake preacher is preaching. It sears their conscience, and they won't listen to truth. Now, hypocrisy is pretending to have some form of character or standing that you do not have. It's like this Jonathan Kahn. Now, people say, "Oh, Jonathan Kahn, he's wonderful. He wrote this book on this and that." It's just a distraction. It's to get people's eyes off of an end time word for an end time people. Jonathan Kahn, as far as I'm concerned, is a false prophet because he's a Trinitarian. Mm-hmm. How can you be a Jew and go to become a Trinitarian? You can't do it. It is deceit and dissimulation. It is acting in a feigned or pretentious way. Now you say, well, you shouldn't call names. Well, yes, John called names. Paul called names. Brother Branham called names. He talked about Oral Roberts and Billy Graham and those things. Now, I'm not speaking evil against their character. These people. I'm just saying, what they're preaching, if they are a Trinitarian, they are false. Stay away from them, period. Yeah. See? Now, like those who claim to be in the know because they fished or hunted with the prophet, or even those who claim to have talked to him and got some inside scoop. Show me one scripture where somebody fished with a prophet and so they became a you know, a person in the know. Or they hunted with a prophet and they became a person in the know. You can't find it. Now you say, well, what about Peter? He fished with Jesus. Yeah, Peter did. And Peter denied Jesus three times. That is what Brother Branham is driving at in this last paragraph we read. Men who think you can add to or take away from the Scripture just because you have a ministry where the supernatural of God is on display. They tried to get him to say yes, that he could add to or take away, and he would not take the bait. So we must stick with the Word. If Brother Branham himself, with all that dynamic supernatural presence of God in his ministry, would not deviate one word from the Bible. That was his absolute. He said, I can show you quotes where Brother Branham said, my absolute is this Bible. He said, I can make mistakes, but this Word will never make a mistake. You see? Now there's people down in, you know, I won't say what certain, but there's people who say, well, Brother Branham never made a mistake. I beg your pardon, Brother Branham said he did. Well, that doesn't disqualify him from being a vindicated prophet of God. His mistakes weren't, thus saith the Lord, because that's God saying it to him, and he's just repeating what God said. Thus saith the Lord. The Lord said thus. But show me one place in Scripture that a prophet that came with thus saith the Lord didn't make some mistakes in his life. We all do. We're all human. So Brother Branham is driving at that. He says, well, the people say, oh, Brother Branham, with your great, you know, ministry and all this wonderful thing, you know, you could write your own Bible. He said, good try. Good try. But that would make me Antichrist. Then Paul tells us some of these doctrines which identify the Catholic Church, he says, forbidding to marry. Well, that's not only what the Catholic Church teaches about its ministers, but that is what Roman pagan Church of Diana believed when its women priests who had to remain virgins, they weren't permitted to marry. Then he adds, and commanded to abstain from meats. Well, we know Church is right in this message. Commanded to abstain from meat. That's a Catholic God. I just pulled up the book today. I could have printed it off and read it to you. Brother Branham said, that's a Catholic dogma, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, notice Paul says, that was doctrines of devils. But we actually have some in the message that say that verse is not for the end time. Well, excuse me, but the Apostle Paul said, now the Spirit speaks expressly, distinctively, that in the latter times, at the end times, some shall depart from the faith. To give heed to these doctrines of devils, and then he names them, and not eating meat is one of these doctrines of devils. Now, I'm sorry, but you can't preach the revelation of Jesus Christ and that be your focus. If you run off after this doctrine and this doctrine and this doctrine, it shows your focus is in Christ. It's doctrines, period. I know people say that when you have cancer, you should give up eating meat, but every one of them did. Everyone that did that died of their cancer that I know who tried. Now, you say, well, they got a reprieve. Yeah, you get a reprieve. Now, listen. God is a healer of all our diseases. That is what the Bible says. And one sister who decided to trust God for her healing and died was made fun of because she did not stop eating meat. She chose to believe God rather than not eating meat. She was actually made fun of. Now, I'm sorry, but if you disrupt your eating habits with any fad diet, you will disrupt the cancer for a season, because it has to change its source of food as you change your source of food. So all of these diets are pure nonsense and don't have any biblical foundation to them. They are just hope-sos. Instead of placing your trust wholly in the hands of God, and if God so chooses to take you, then He is choosing. So Paul tells us to sanctify the food we eat with the Word of God and prayer. Now, I'm not saying that if you eat hot dogs and because of the nitrates your stomach bloats up, that you should continue eating hot dogs. Certain foods you just don't get along with. But everybody's chemistry is different. And you can't set one doctrinal rule and say, don't eat meat, and put that across the board. Then you have kids with scurvy and everything else. And listen, those people that do that, They're dying of cancer. There's lots of people that have cancer. So don't try to push off these little idioms. Preach Christ. Look to Christ. He is the author. He's the finisher of your faith. He says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. If, and that's a big if it is to be received with thanksgiving, or if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. I know that when we sit at the table, sometimes we rush through our prayer. I think we should be a little bit more sacred in taking this to heart. Because the foods that we do eat today are polluted. I think we should be sincere and not say, bow our heads in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this food. Amen. And then just jolly. I think we should be more sincere about what he says there. Father, we sanctify this word. We sanctify this according to your word. We sanctify this food with prayer and thanksgiving and the word of God. And your word said, we are to do it, therefore we're doing it, and we're asking you, Lord, to sanctify this food that it won't harm our body anyway. Now, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Of course, God will call you a good minister and a faithful minister, but those teaching those doctrines of devils will not say that about you. Because you're destroying their power over the people. You see, words have power to them. And as a brother one time told me, he said, if you got this much more knowledge on a certain subject than the guy you're talking to, you have power over that person. It's not right. It's not right, but it's true. Words are power. You know, the word is mightier than the sword, we've heard. Now, of course, God will call you. Okay, the only thing here that Paul tells us to refuse is, but refuse profane. Now, that word is heathenism, means heathenism, superstitious beliefs. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, fictions, made-up stuff. And exercise thyself rather unto godliness, which is God-likeness. On the other or other words, be like Christ. Be conformed to his image. And then he goes on to say, will not come by what you can do in the flesh or with flesh. He says, for body exercise profiteth little. Body exercise doesn't produce godliness. But God-likeness is profitable unto all things, having promise of life that now is and that which is to come. So what are some of these doctrines of devils being taught at the end time? Well, some teach the false doctrine that the fivefold ministry is no longer supposed to preach, but rather now are supposed to just play tapes. They call it push and play. That is a false doctrine, brother, sister. Don't say it's not. You cannot find it in the scripture. You cannot find it from a vindicated prophet. If the prophet didn't say it, don't believe it. You don't have to believe it. Some people say, well, in the book of Revelations, the angel in chapter 1, well, that's William Branham. If the prophet didn't say it, you don't have a right to say it. He said, I am Jesus. William Branham was not Jesus. They say, well, what about the prophet in Revelation 19? When John fell to worship him, he said, don't worship me. I'm of thy brethren the prophets. They said, well, that was William Branham. How do you know? Who vindicated you to say so? William Branham never said that. God never showed him that. Leave it alone. As Brother Branham said, I left eternal hell alone for a long, long time. I put it on the shelf until God revealed it to me. There's some things you just leave it alone. I can say with positive assurance that push-play doctrine is false. Because nowhere in the Bible does it teach that. Nowhere can you show me where God's prophet taught that. He never even alluded to it. You can't believe that unless you are willing to take passages of scriptures or quotes from God's prophet, and twist them into a pretzel so much that the actual quote becomes completely foggy in its intention. Therefore, that is a false doctrine. Irenaeus said that they add here and they take away there, and by cutting and twisting, they make their doctrines to somehow seem plausible to the simple-minded. Some believe the false teaching that men have two souls, and so the doctrine seems to lead to polygamy, which is another false doctrine. They say, well, you know, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So, you know, you got one soul that's going to die, but then you got another soul that's going to live eternally. No. They read that scripture, but they don't read the next verse. But if that soul shall repent, it shall live. Then there are those who believe the Son of God was not pre-incarnate. They seem to believe that the Son of God came only into existence when Mary gave him birth. Then there are those who believe that Mary gave birth to God, to Jehovah, in the manger. And they have more in common with the Catholic Church than any other group who claim to believe the message. For unto us a child is given. If he's given, then God gave him. God gave him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. They don't read their scriptures. Then there are those who believe the pastor is the husband of the church. And some that I know of have even performed wedding ceremonies in the church between every person in that church and the pastor, and even exchanged wedding rings with the pastor. Then we have those who believe the second coming has already taken place, and we're now living in the millennium. The Bible says in the millennium the lamb shall lay down with the lion, right? You're not talking about just a difference of a doctrine. You're talking about insanity to believe these things. Then there are some who believe since 1963 there's no more mercy and Christ is off the mercy seat. I went overseas to a church and the guy was translating for me. He wouldn't translate, so I got another person to translate. He had been over there teaching those people that there's no more mercy since 63. Of course, he came in before 63, so he's okay. All that whole church, I asked him, I said, how many of you came in after 63? Every hand raised. I said, well, then, according to that doctrine, there's no more mercy. But I said, the Bible says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. As long as you're walking in the light, the blood is still effective. Just keep walking in that light. You see, they don't understand that the seals, you know, they say, well, 1963, the seal was open, so that means that, you know, after that, there's no more mercy and became a judgment seat. Listen, Brother Brown was projecting into the future. He said, when the last one is in the child train and we're taken out of here, then there's no more mercy. Put it all together. But the reason why they preach these things is because they can hold sway over the people. Well, I fish with the prophet, therefore I know. How does fishing with the prophet make you one that knows? Well, I hunted with him, therefore I know. How does hunting with him make... Well, I'm one of his children, therefore I know. How does being a child of a prophet make you to be a prophet or make you to know? Now, come on, brother, sister. And then there are those who believe Brother Branham is coming back with a worldwide ministry. Show me that in the scripture. Then there are some who believe you have to sit under a certain brother because he fished with the prophet. And still others, you got to follow that brother that went hunting with the prophet. And still others believe you have to follow the man, the brother, because he's related to the prophet. And somehow by believing these false doctrines, people believe that makes you a chosen one. And that gives you an extra something that will get you into the rapture somehow. It's like a preacher out west one time who told the people in his church, he said, when the rapture takes place, I'm going to come by your house and honk three times. You better be ready. What a joke. And the guy who said it, he's dead. So much for his prophecy. But people see a little bit of something in a man and they put the man up on a pedestal and they try to make him something he is not. Now I think I've had more of God's supernatural presence in my ministry than any living man in this message that you preach today. I believe that. But that don't make me nothing. I still have to take God's word, His vindicated word, and bring it back from the Bible. And that's the only way I know that at the white throne I can stand as blameless and say, I said only what was said. I cannot, because of what God has done, decide, well, I'm going to go in this direction, because then God leaves me. I must stay with the word, word by word, and you must also. I think it would go on and on, showing how far the message men have swerved because they do not take the message back to the Bible and prove it by the Word of God. Irenaeus, who was the second church age messenger and spent most of his time combating the heresies which began in the first church age when the people left their first love, said his treatises against the heresies from chapter 8 of how the Valentinians pervert the scriptures to support their own pious opinions. He says, such then is their system, which neither the prophets announced, nor the Lord taught, nor the apostles delivered, but of which they boast that beyond all others, they have a perfect knowledge. Now, have you ever been to a church where they got it? Anybody outside that church don't got it? That's the Valentinians. Now, I would like to add here that he's about to tell us how that they pervert the scriptures. He said they gather their views from other sources than the scriptures. And to use a common proverb, they strive to weave ropes of sand. You ever try to weave a rope of sand? Even on the beach where you can get it a little bit moist and maybe make it look like a rope, try picking it up and twisting it. Vaporize. I mean, just falls to a zillion pieces of sand. But they will take the Word of God, a passage, and then they'll bring it from this source over here, this source over here, this source over here, and say, see. And the people just look at that one scripture and they say, oh, yeah. Or they take a quote, oh, yeah. And they lead the people into delusion. Now, before we move ahead, I'd like to ask we already have. Notice by its very nature, when you pick up sand, it falls apart. And if it were possible to make a rope of sand by pressing it together in some way, you could still not bend it, because the moment you tried to do it, it would disintegrate. And so Irenaeus has painted a picture in our mind of the futility of these people endeavoring to make something work and to fit that has no possibility of working or fitting with the scripture. And then he adds, while they endeavor to adapt with an air of probability to their own peculiar assertions. I remember when 1977 came, and there had been a preacher out west who preached that we wouldn't reach 1977 because they took Brother Graham's quote where he said, I predict that the world system as we know it would end by 1977. So he took that as the world would end by 1977. And so he began to preach to people that, look, when Brother Branham comes back, he's got to come back, and when he does, he can make the world reverse itself and by spinning backwards or something that will go back in time, and therefore will be before 1977 happens. And I said, you know, I think that man just saw the Superman movie where he spun around and made the world turn and go backwards so that Lois Lane could be, so that he could save her before she died. Insanity! Based in Hollywood. The same person put out a book on Joseph Branham. And every time Brother Branham used the word Joseph, he said, when Brother Branham was talking about, like I said, when our Joseph comes, he'll speak. And we'll all be changed. He was talking about Jesus. And they attributed that to Joseph Branham. Now, I want you to pray for Brother Joseph because he's got a lot of fanatics that follow him in his ministry. Because of people like that, that took things and skewed them and with their plausibility. What's possible, brother? Well, yeah, it's possible that the pigs are born purple, too. I mean, it's possible that pigs can fly. Let's put them in an airplane, they'll fly. Right? So, Iran has painted a picture in our minds of the futility of the people endeavoring to make something work and fit that has no possibility of ever working or fitting. He says, while they endeavor to adapt with an air of probability, notice, to their own peculiar assertions. Not an air of probability to the scripture, an air of probability to their own ideas, their own peculiar, strange assertions. And I want you to get what he's saying here, because this is the key to understanding why they fall from doctrines of devils, why they fall for doctrines of devils. While they endeavor to adopt with an air of probability to their own peculiar assertions, so that's the key. It is their own peculiar assertions that they are leaning and falling for. They are not interested in proving God's word, but they are trying to use God's word to declare their own peculiar notions or ideas. Like one man who believes that we have become the word, therefore we don't need the Bible. We don't need the tapes anymore. We don't even need the Bible anymore. So they send all the tapes back to the voice of God. We don't need it. We are the word. And they're living in adultery and everything else. Drinking, adultery, carousing. Oh, but they're the word. Hallelujah. Really? I think there are more strange doctrines in this message than there is in the Catholic Church, and the Catholic Church has many. I think there's more strange doctrines in this message than there was among the Baptists, amongst the Lutherans, amongst just the nominal Christian people. Why? Because this is where Satan's focus is on. Try to destroy the credibility of this message any way he can do it. So while they endeavor to adapt with an air of probability to their own peculiar assertions, so that's the key, they are not interested in proving God's word. They are only trying to declare their own peculiar notions, and they will use the word where they can to try to weave it with their own peculiar assertions. But God commanded us to lean not to your own understanding, because the way a tree leans, that's the way it's going to fall. The dictionary defines assertion as something declared or stated positively, often with no support or attempt at proof. We see it all the time in politics. In other words, they don't care what God's word really says. They're more interested in what they think it should say. Did you catch that? They're not so interested in what it actually says. They're more interested in what they think it should say. But they know that they must use the word in order to give an air of vindication to their own thoughts. But they just use the scriptures and don't really care about the order or connection of the scriptures. Just as long as it seems to fit their own notion, that is what they aim for. Like so many who will read one or two verses of scripture and then just talk. And I've seen them. They will open with one scripture and just talk and cry. And the people think, my, this person's anointed. When you say that that person that's using human emotion is anointed by the Holy Ghost, you better get to your knees. Because that's not anointing. And it's time people smarten up. That is not anointing. You're looking at human emotion, which is in itself very seductive. That's why Hollywood is a master of seduction. And that's why the preacher is next in line. They all will paint a picture in your mind, and then by adding music, they play on your emotions. And when you as a human being get caught up into the emotion, you get caught into the trap that they set for you. Now what? You watch a very touching scene in a movie, and you know that they're just actors. But when they shed tears, you shed tears. How many have done that? I'll be honest. What is it? It's human emotion. It's not anointing. Human emotion, not anointing, it's emotion. And you better know the difference or you're going to be fooled. One brother that was living in adultery said to me one time, he said, oh, you should just come down to this church I'm attending. You could really feel the Holy Spirit in there. And I said, brother, if the Word is not there, I doubt the Holy Spirit is there. Then I said, have you ever gone to a football game or to a baseball game and the crowd gets up, they get all wound up, and they do the wave, you know, this or this, and then they do this, and then the next person does it, and the next person, and it goes all the way around the stadium. And everybody in the stadium gets caught up into it, and pretty soon it's not just one row, it's the whole section, and then it becomes the whole thing, it's just doing the wave, right? Human emotion, that's not anointing, brother, sister. human emotion. Everyone gets caught up into the wave, and pretty soon everybody's doing it. That is not the Holy Spirit. That is human dynamo, the human emotion. And you had better know the difference, or you'll be fooled into thinking that person is really anointed when he is just playing on your emotions. I remember years ago, a brother came to me and said, you know, I want to divorce my wife and marry someone else. Would you marry me to this other person? I said, no, I won't do it. I said, Brother Brown told you 25 years ago to stay with your wife. When he preached marriage and divorce, you took your wife down there. And he told you to stay with your wife when you asked him. And now you're asking me to marry you to this other woman? Oh, but brother, I was on a motorcycle and she was holding on to me. And when I brought her home and I gave her a kiss goodnight, I could feel the Spirit of God welling up in me. And I thought, you don't know the difference between the Spirit of God and lust? Most people don't. You know, they get a person singing, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And they, that person's anointed. No, that's seduction. It's seduction. It's emotion. And they're playing your strings. Irene said they're not interested in God's opinion. They're only interested in their own opinion. And so they use God's word to try and fit it to what they think instead of repenting, which is to change your own thinking to fit God's opinion. God said, my words are not your words, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So, let's read on what he says. While they endeavor to adapt with an air of probability to their own peculiar assertions, the parables of the Lord, the sayings of the prophets, that's the same thing they're doing today, and the words of the apostles. In other words, let's take our own peculiar doctrine and we'll take a quote that we can find. Maybe that might seem to fit. Possibly, plausibly, like I already said, plausible. There's a plausibility there. And that's what they do. Now I want you to notice what he's driving at here. He says they do it for a certain purpose, in order that their scheme may not seem altogether without support. Why don't they just go off and preach their own doctrine, their own religion, and not bring the prophet in, not bring the Bible in? Because they have to have some support for what they're saying in order to attract anybody. In order that their scheme may not seem altogether without support. So in doing so, now, so we have the motive for what they're doing. They know that they must have some sort of credibility, so they will use the scripture wherever it seems to them that it might possibly fit into their scheme. And the word scheme is a secret or devious plan. As Paul warns us in Ephesians chapter 4, it says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now you can't tell me that these men are just simply ignorant and don't really have bad intentions. The Bible speaks contrary to that kind of thinking. The Apostle Paul said they lie in wait to deceive. Now, to lie in wait gives us a mental image of a lion or some form of predator that would lie along a path waiting for some unsuspecting person or animal to come along. They lie there and they wait in order to spring upon them suddenly to overtake them. And Peter says the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the Apostle Paul also said in Hebrews 10:26, for if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But you can show these people the truth and they reject it. They reject it. That's like the guy I caught years ago deliberately misreading a quote from Brother Branham. I was invited to a meeting where this guy was preaching. And some of the people from our church were there. And so the guy then began to preach. And when he would read a quote from Brother Branham that says, you've got to have revelation, he wouldn't use the word revelation. He'd use the word vision. You've got to have a vision to receive the Holy Ghost. And I said, brother, read the quote again. And he'd read it. He'd insert the word vision. And I said, brother, that's not what he's saying. Read it again. Finally, he read it and said, revelation. The guy was purposely deceiving. And these people thought that was okay. But look at his life. His wife went off into adultery and drugs and everything else. His vision, he said, Jesus came to his house and in the dream, in the vision, and he petted his dog, and his dog hadn't been the same ever since. Oh, that's a wonderful, wonderful vision. Got a lot of supernatural significance, doesn't it? Really? You got some land in Florida. Maybe we can sell you. The so-called minister inserted the word vision, thus using the sentence of the prophet but changing the keywords in order that his scheme may not seem altogether without support. And where's that guy today? As I said, he's messed up worse than Hogan's goat. His wife turned to drugs and adultery. And that's what happens when you haven't any respect of God, for God, and you try to use God's word in a way that he did not mean it to be used. God said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, for my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." And he also added, "And no man can know the mind of God unless the Spirit of God is in him." So you see, when they are not born again, they will just punch away using quotes from the message in a way that they're not intended to be used or strung together until they find themselves out on a limb that there is no way of ever coming back on. And notice what Irenaeus says next, because he was speaking of what happened in the first church age after Paul left the scene. Remember, Paul said, "And there's grievous wolves will enter in." He said, "I've run a good race," but he said, "But I'm warning you. After my departure, grievous wolves shall enter in, not sparing the flock." And what happened after Paul left the scene? They lost their first love. And they opened themselves up to doctrines of devils. Notice Irenaeus says next, because he was speaking of what happened in the first church age after Paul left the scene. And he was speaking of those things which carried over into the second church age that he was living in, after the people in the first age had left their first love. And we see the same thing taking place even in this hour. And notice the way that they use the Word of God and the prophet's own words, but take them out of context and twist them so as to make their own doctrines seem like there is something to them, like they're preaching a vindicated word, and they are not. Irenaeus continues, "However, they disregard the order and connection of the Scripture, and so far as in them lies, they dismember and destroy the truth by transferring passages and dressing them up anew, and making one thing out of another. They succeed in deluding many through their wicked art in adapting the oracles of the Lord to their own opinions." Now, the Apostle Peter warned us about this in 2 Peter 2. "But as there were false prophets among the people, so shall there be," future tense, "false teachers among you, who privily," that means not openly, but in a subtle manner, "they shall bring in damnable heresy." So the question is, bring into where? And the Weiss translation tells us these false teachers are of such a nature that they will bring in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies. That's why we have seen even preachers who preach the truth on Father and Son will preach "don't eat meat." Bringing in alongside of true doctrine destructive heresies, you see, even denying the one who bought them, even saying no to or disregarding or refusing the one that bought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. And pernicious means to cause insidious harm or ruin, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So they cause harm, they cause, look, I am very sorry, but, Brother Vail's legacy should have been, and it is with many of us, that he was a man of God, a profound teacher that worked with the prophet. But many that claim to follow William Lee Vail, they're trying to make Lee Vail known for not eating meat and for two lords and things that Brother Vail completely said. They're fake, they're false, they're phony. And yet they push those things, and so people say, "Well, that's what Lee Vail teaches?" No, he didn't teach that. Notice that what these men do is that through their false teachings, they bring the way of truth into disrepute. In Kenya, in many places, they preach polygamy, bringing the message into disrepute, because they say, "Well, Brother Brown said polygamy is better than divorce." But the very next thing he said, "But they're both wrong. They're both wrong." But they leave that part of it out, and they say, "Well, polygamy is better than divorce. Quote, that's what the prophet said." But he said, "But they're both wrong." And they bring into disrepute the message. Or they say the second coming came in 1963. And now we are now in the millennium. Really? What does that do?
people say, these people are nuts so cuckoo. That William Branham, if he taught that stuff, he's crazy. He's a false prophet, not a true prophet of God. He didn't teach those things, but they do. But they claim to believe him. We listen to it. We all listen to it Wednesday night.
About 2 months ago.
People say, well, Brother Branham, you know, these people say they believe you. He said, but they don't. They may claim to believe me, but they don't. Because they're not doing what I tell them to do. They don't believe me. I don't mean to. I'm not angry at you people. I'm just trying to tell you the facts. We're living in a very deceptive age. Very deceptive. Everything. You got false medicine. You got false religion. You got false education. You got false politics. I mean, you got false economy. It's all false. You know, turn on the television. It's all false. I wouldn't believe a thing that's on television. I'm sorry. They all have their agenda. I'm going to show you, I promise you, I'm going to show you some things coming up here. I'm going to show you where everything they say is a lie. And people that buy into it are buying into a lie. Why? Because they want to buy into a lie. If you believe what the prophet said, you wouldn't turn that thing on. In other words, they become a strain on the true revelation of Jesus Christ and those who stand for the truth and are identified with the messenger of the truth. But because they have come alongside of true doctrine and preach their own versions of heresy, they bring the rest of us who are doing all that we can do to stand for a vindicated message. And by association, the entire message is looked down upon and the reputation of God's servant William Branham is brought into question. Now notice verse 3. And through covetousness... So we know their motive is greed. Through their greedy desires to have more, shall they with feigned words, the expression feigned words, it means to give a false appearance or to represent falsely, or words that are made up with the motive to deceive or to imitate so as to deceive. So you can see their entire motive is deception, and that is for the purpose to make merchandise of you. So you see the real motive is money, money, money. Then these men are just peddlers of the message. They are mere hirelings, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Irenaeus continues, their manner of acting is just as if one, when a beautiful image of a king has been constructed by some skillful artist, out of precious jewels, should then take this likeness of the man all to pieces, should rearrange the gems and so fit them together as to make them into the form of a dog or a fox, or even that but poorly executed, and should then maintain and declare that this was the beautiful image of the king, which the skillful artist constructed, pointing to the jewels, which had been admirably fitted together by the first artist to form the image of the king, but have been with that effect transferred by the latter one to the shape of a dog, and by thus exhibiting the jewels, the individual quotes or scriptures taken out of context, should deceive the ignorant, who had no conception of what a king's form was like, and persuade them that that miserable likeness of the fox was in fact the beautiful image of the king. Let me give you an example. Brother Brad was talking about Abraham, about Lot and his wife. And he said Lot's wife had no revelation. She was just following a man, her husband. Then Brother Brad kind of off to the side says, you know, you're... Pastor is the husband, spiritually speaking. In other words, he's alluding, people just follow their pastor without having a revelation of their own. But men have taken that and say, well, he said the pastor is the husband, spiritually speaking. Well, Paul says in Romans chapter 7, that your old husband is dead, your new husband is the Word. But they use that to control the people, saying, I am your husband, spiritually speaking. And they use it for a purpose. They're taking a golden nugget, and instead of going into that golden nugget to see what he's talking about, which was they don't have a revelation, they're just following a man, they take that golden nugget and they say, the pastor is a husband, spiritually speaking. Therefore, everything I say, you've got to do. Now notice today, we have the masterpiece, which is the King of Glory himself, presented to the people by the words of a vindicated prophet, and he crafted his words so carefully in such a way as to present to us what he saw. When he said, my ministry is to declare him that he is here. And he also said, and he is the supreme deity who has come down in our midst. And in doing so, he has revealed himself and has unveiled the mighty God unveiled before us, the unveiling of God. But since the prophet is no longer on the scene to protect the image of his masterpiece, that masterpiece he preached, others have come along and have taken his quotes that presented to us the mighty King of Glory, those jewels that Irene spoke of, and they have disassembled the message into sound bits or sound bites, quick quotes, and have reassembled them or rearranged them into an image of a dog or a fox, and they have canvassed the world presenting their own opinions as the image of the King. And Irenaeus continues, in like manner do these persons patch together old wives' fables and then endeavor by violently drawing away from their proper connection words and expressions and parables whenever found to adapt the oracles of God to their baseless fiction. We have already stated how far they proceed in this way with respect to the fullness. And now, that's a whole other issue we can get into. Because in their day, they believed that the fullness of the Godhead was in the bride. And they believed that for every male attribute of God, there was a female attribute of God. And so, like we have, there's just too much there to get into. But you have the words like psyche, which is silence. And you have, knowledge, which is, and one was masculine, one was female. You have people even name their kids this word, and it's a feminine attribute. And so what they try to say is the fullness of the Godhead was in the bride, which is exactly what they try to do in this hour. And it's false. No. But Brother Brown is telling us here in paragraph 14 of the masterpiece, says so I know no denomination or other to take you to. There's only one thing I have my faith in. If you believe me, follow what I tell you, because I believe the Bible. So only one place I can take you to, he says, that's the Bible. That's the Word of God. Other things fail, but he is life, he is the Word. He didn't take us to himself, he didn't point to himself. He's pointing us to the Word, to the Word, to the Word. So where can we go? Right to the Word every time. For in him is life, and the life is the light of men. In fact, John says in John 8 and 12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So see, he is the light, and in him is no darkness at all. In him there is no confusion. In him there is no uncertainty. 1 John 1 and 1 tells us, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, that's the manifested word, which you have looked upon, and our hands have even handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. And finally, 1 John 5 and verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Notice then, in the Gospel of John, we're told that the life was in the Father, and it was given unto his Son. John 5:26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. Now let's go back to 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that echoes the Son, he that says the same thing the Son says, echoes life. And he that echoes not the Son of God, echoes not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, if God is the Word and he is life, then to receive his Word will bring his very life into you. In fact, that is what the Scripture tells us in Acts 13:48. It tells us all who are ordained to life believe God's Word. We see also in 1 John 2 and 20, but you have an unction, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And John 3 and 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. But we see, according to Scripture, that the false vine had no place for the Word. John 8, 37, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my Word hath no place in you. 1 John 4 and 5 to 6, they are of the world, therefore they speak of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God, And he that knoweth God heareth us. This word is gnosko, which means he that has a knowledge based upon an intimate relationship with God, he heareth us. But he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth, the spirit of error. So it all comes back to the word. 1 John 2:19, they went out from us because they were not of us, for had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So see that the true seed of God comes to the light, the real word of God, and will not walk in darkness, whereas the false vine will not come to the light. And in fact, they will try to keep others from coming to it. In Isaiah 16, verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to the light, and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. Psalm 56, 13, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living? Psalm 89 and 15, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. John 3, 21, but he that doeth truth comes to the light, that his deed may be made manifest, that they had their source in God. John 12, 46, I am come a light into the world, but whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. 1 John 1 and 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Whereas the false vine will not hold to the word of God, but will only use it to keep others from entering in. As we see in Matthew 23:13, Jesus says, but woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you play actors, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither will go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. That's why we read last week, remember where they said, Brother Ramsey, well, you know, I have 42 churches that are going to, you know, support my ministry, and they've asked me, they're going to pay the bills and everything else, and when I get down there, there's none. And then the reason why there's none, he says, because they say, well, he teaches this, or he teaches that, or he teaches that. Throwing off scarecrows, you see? That's what Jesus says here in Matthew 23. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodlikeness and unrightwiseness of men who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. In unrightwiseness. John 3:19-20, and this is the condemnation. The light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. John 12:35, then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, as one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. Isaiah 15:11. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of mine hand, you shall lie down in sorrow. No, the guy said, you know, you want to do that? Go ahead and do that. Fine with me. They want to leave? Let them leave. That's fine with me. 1 John 5:1-6. This then is the message that we've heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But the false vine who do not love the truth will hold to the word for another age or hold to their own, like Irenaeus says, they hold to their own assertions. And because they love not the word, they're turned over to a delusion. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And with all deceivableness of unrightwiseness in them that perish, because they receive not the love for the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. Or Brother Bram, as Brother Bram said, it's the lie. But that is because only God's sons can understand the word. John 8:31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. What if they don't continue? That shows that they didn't believe his word. See? John 8:42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear, or you cannot understand my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you can convince me of sin, which is unbelief? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth or understandeth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. 1 Corinthians 2:11-12. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God knows. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God gives you his spirit that you might know. in Isaiah 50. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak the word in season to him that is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine eye and my ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from them from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Matthew 13:11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. You see how selective God can be. Matthew 13:16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Mark 4:11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. And Luke 8:10. And he said, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see, they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. But those that are not ordained to life cannot understand the word of God. John 8:38-47. I speak that which I have seen of my Father, and you do that which you have seen of your father. They answered unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. You know, we're not circumcised. See, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He is a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. And then Matthew, we just have it a little bit more closer. Matthew 13:11. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, or echoes not, from him shall be taken away even that which he thinks he, that he's echoing. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, they see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For the people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. And their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Now, what is the eyes? It's the prophets. So they have shut off the prophets in order to understand the scripture. They don't want to hear what the prophet had to say about the scripture. You see? Mark 4:11. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted, and their sins should be forgiven them. And again, Luke 8:10. And he said unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might see, might not see, and hearing they might not understand. And finally, in closing, 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So that takes us back to what Brother Brown says in our opening statements, when he's talking about how these people... Let me just see if I can... Can't get a hold of him. He says, they say to him, Brother Brown, your ministry could write another book, another Bible. He says, don't go there. The word is my absolute. If Paul said, if an angel from heaven, if any man or an angel from heaven preach any other word than what I've already preached, let him be cursed. William Branham did not come to us with anything but what Paul preached, or he'd be cursed. So will you. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a heart to want to stay with it and to take the things that your prophet says and show us right from the scriptures where it was inspired from, knowing that you are the word and you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Help us, Lord, not to be tempted and tested, tried. May we not have any lust in our hearts to want to run after things which are outside of your word. But help us truly just stay anointed by your word, to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing that song, I Know Whom I Have Believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
I know.